Hey, Potters! Welcome to episode 54 of Cosplay. Well, your face is hilarious.
That was just way too happy and peppy for me. Oh my goodness, like my brain cannot comprehend or compute any of that. Wow.
Welcome to episode 54 of Cospod, the podcast about all things cosplay, where I, Amber, have freaked out my co-host, Val.
And I'm Valerie, and I'm just exhausted, so just ignore me.
See, I'm happy because this is the last weekend, the last free weekend I get before I start school again. And then I have to go back to pretty hefty classes for 3 months. This is my capstone class. It's the end of my education in public school. Mm-hmm. And once I do this, I take my certification and that's it. Then it's just real life experience from there, trying to, you know, work my way up the ladder, as it were. So I've been very productive this weekend because I have to be, so that I can get everything done before I have, you know, mass amounts. Our textbook for school is literally 1,200 pages long, and that does not include the appendix. That's literally the chapters of content goes up to 1,200 pages. And we're doing it in 8 weeks. So I'm going to be, like, tearing my hair out insane with homework starting next weekend, and symphony season starts right after that. So I'm also going to be frantically, you know, practicing my music so I can earn a living.
The joy of accelerated classes.
Yes, but unfortunately in the IT world, that's kind of the only way to be able to do it and still, you know, keep your job.
Yeah, unless you want to go back to traditional school, in which case it's dang near impossible.
And then, yeah, then you can't pay your bills because you have no incoming money.
Yeah.
And it's not like I've qualified for scholarships even though I have a 4.0 average.
I can tell you why, but I think we've already been through this.
Yes, I'm well aware why I don't have any scholarships right now.
Same reasons? I'm not qualified.
Yes. Well.
You know.
Anyways, back to cosplay.
Yes,
ranting can happen in the after session, yes. So, yes, I have been productive. What have you been working on before I do my whole, you know, blowout show and tell?
Well, I was sick for about 6 days with the flu, and I've been working and working and working and doing more working because January is the worst month at my job, so I've been doing a lot of overtime. In the past week and a half since the last time we've actually sat down and talked to people, I remade my Enchantress headpiece. And that probably took maybe 2 hours tops. That's all I have accomplished. Go.
Also, there are pictures of this mythical headpiece in its complete form.
Yeah, actually, because yesterday we had a good photo gathering, which is why I'm so flippin' exhausted. Where we actually had a bunch of cosplayers come in. We rented out a studio for a day, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of tiring work, but I actually got my full costume on. I got to test it out, and things I like about it, things I don't like about it. So we'll see. I like the pictures so far. The headpiece looks awesome in the pictures. I'm, like, super proud of the damn thing. It's Wonderflex. I don't mess with that crap. You know I don't mess with that crap. I'm curious to see how my arm guards look, though, because those are still made out of craft foam. I like them because they're comfortable. But if they don't look good in the pictures, I may try to whip together Wonderflex versions of them before Sci-Fi Con. So we'll see. But, yeah. It'll be fun roaming around together in Thor gear.
Yeah, photo shoots are actually a really good way to see if there are problems with your costume that you don't see just, you know, trying it on in the mirror or looking at it, you know, while it's in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah, about that Thor gear.
You're Thoring anyway, with me. I don't care.
No, that's a segue to show and tell.
I figured as much.
Because I have this sitting next to me.
He's big.
Yeah, it's because it's a breastplate and I am big. You can see this is wood filler, which is kind of flaky and still trying to dry a little bit. It was dried out in its container, so I had to add a little bit of water to it and kind of mix it together again. It was kind of old. I haven't worked on armor in a long time. I've mostly been working on props that don't require wood filler, so it dried out. But this is the front of my Lady Sif breastplate, and it's made of Eva foam, which you can see it's pretty thick. It's about a half an inch. It's those yoga floor mats. You can see my nice cross-hatching on the back and all my
Hell yeah.
really attractive hot glue. No, I have been scouring the internet for tutorials on EvaFoam. Not for the technique, because I already know how to make armor. It's
right.
just a matter of actually sitting down and doing it. I wanted to know the different materials that people use to assemble it and the pros and cons of each of them. Because, you know, anybody who's worked with foam knows that there are certain adhesives and certain types of materials you should not use on foam because it will literally disintegrate the foam.
Yeah, it'll eat away the foam.
Like anything with spray adhesives
exactly.
or E6000 will also dissolve foam, incidentally.
Which is why a lot of us like to use white glue on craft foam.
Exactly. I mean, we kind of learn through doing what you should not use on foam because your piece disappears
yeah.
overnight as it dries. So I used high temp hot glue, which is what some of the better makers use for theirs. The disadvantage of the really high temp glue isn't so much that it doesn't work. It really does work, and this actually is a really good hold for being hot glue. And I'm not worried about it falling apart because I'm not going to be leaving this in my car when it's 100 outside. The disadvantage of super hot glue is that you have to wait a long time for it to cure, and you can't let go because it's foam.
Yep.
So I couldn't move, basically, while I was waiting for the seams to set. But, you know, for being a first piece of EVA armor, this is pretty good, you know. I am okay with this, and thank you to Mary for talking me down from the ledge, because originally I wanted to throw this away and start over, which I, in a way, I would still love to do if I had the time, but unfortunately with school, I don't really have the time. And there is a back to this, incidentally. The back is actually sitting over there on the other side of the camera. All I was able to sit next to me was the front half. So once that dries, I will be sanding down the joints and using a heck of a lot of gesso, which I went and bought at Hobby Lobby yesterday. And I'm going to try Plastidip. I do have the spray can of Plastidip. Should be enough for a breastplate.
Let me know how the Plastidip works, because I want to test it on something with my Wonderflex.
I've used it on PVC pipe before, and it works fairly well on PVC pipe. I think it took two layers before it was actually, like, good and solid.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, there is that. Other things I have been working on besides frantically working on armor. Oh, incidentally, about armor, I found out that scroll saws are fantastic on EvaFoam. Yes, you can cut them with a scroll saw. And yes, it cuts beautiful edges that you don't even have to sand. It's awesome. I love it. It
now
makes my life a lot easier.
Scroll saw.
Actually, a hobby scroll saw is only about $70.
That's
They're relatively inexpensive. Granted, you're not getting great quality with that $70. But if all you're going to ever do is cut EvaFoam with it, or maybe foam board once in a while, that should be okay, actually. It's only if you're going to cut hardwood or plywood, MDF, that sort of thing, you should probably invest in a better scroll saw.
Get a better one.
not $70. Yes, but yes, that is the next thing on my list, along with a rivet gun, is I'm going to get a scroll saw so I can cut EvaFoam. Make my life a lot easier, because then I won't have to sand. I keep going through sanding drums on my my new rotary tool, which...
And we're spending money, too.
Actually, this was part of a Christmas gift card that I got.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Grandpa. And actually, I'm gonna do a review on this later. This was only $30. This was cheap. This is half the price of a Dremel and works just as well, if not better. So I have been frantically using this. It's got a diamond polishing bit in it right now, actually, because I was shaving down the seams on my armor. But it only comes with a sanding drum, and that's it. So I wasn't very happy about that. I've been going through my sanding drums like mad. The sanding drums on EVA really don't last very long, especially if you accidentally hit a patch of hot glue, which makes some really awesome effects with your Dremel.
Oh my goodness.
When you go over hot glue with it, because the heat from the friction will remelt the glue, and then it kind of attaches itself to your sand drum. It's really cool.
Whoa.
I found that out through experience.
I don't think that's a good thing.
No, it's not, but at least this way I can tell people, this is what happens. Do as I say, not as I do, because I've done it for you. Now you don't have to do it.
Yeah, now you know.
Yes, and speaking of other Christmas gifts, I got three of these.
And now
these
she understands
awesome.
Why I like Jacquard. Jacquard is like the best thing ever.
Yes. Yes, so you guys can... Now you guys can see what this is and what it looks like. It's called Lumiere.
They're Lumiere paint.
There's
a nice luster shine on everything. It's great.
Yep. This is what it looks like. This is after one layer.
It's so awesome.
That's pretty opaque for being one layer of paint. I mean, yes, you can see there's little spots here and there that probably need touch up.
You probably didn't even do a white base, did you? You just went straight on with the gold.
No, I just went straight on.
Yeah, that's also why I like Jacquard, because you don't have to prep almost 95% of the time. You can just paint right on it. Go!
Exactly, because it's the Lumiere line in particular and the Neopaque are made to work on dark fabrics, which purple broadcloth I think is pretty dark. Then you don't even necessarily need a priming coat. I mean, yes, you may have to go over a couple of spots, you know, with a little bit of touch-up. But, you know, for only being $4, this thing's going to last me a long time, and I got three of them. So I am finishing up the edging on my Erza Scarlet skirt for my Robe of UN. I'm redoing it, because I really didn't like the one I did last year, not accounting for the fact that my waist is a lot smaller than my hips, and I made last year's skirt conform to my waist, and not to my hips, so it was pulling and clinging like crazy, and it looked terrible because I made it kind of boxy instead of, you know, trapezoidal.
Right.
I redid it this year, and I made it a lot more trapezoidal. So now it actually looks like...
You're actually a woman and not a guy.
Yes. Yes. So I like it better now the way I have it. So now I just have to... You know, do the rest of my touch-ups. I'm still painting painstakingly around the edges on the skirt to make it look nice and clean. You know, I'm not doing masking tape and painting next to it because that doesn't always work. So I'm hand painting right up to the lines I've drawn, you know, very, very carefully. And it looks nice.
Painter's tape. Invest in blue painter's tape. It works. It works on fabric.
Well, it's not even the type of tape itself. It's more that for some reason, whenever I use the tape, somehow paint either gets a little bit underneath it or gets pulled off by the tape itself. When you go to remove the tape, it sticks to the tape, and it makes the lines less clean, than I get by hand.
How are you painting? That's my next question.
With a brush.
Paint. Like, are you stippling? Are you, like, trying to brush up to the line and over the line? How are you doing it?
I'm basically going right up to the edge of the line.
Okay.
So that the line is still there. It's almost like an additional edging, like you might see in anime where they darken the lines around the color to denote this is a change in color. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can kind of see it on this. You can see the dark line. There's a big contrast in between where the line is and where I painted up to it. So that's how I'm doing it.
Okay.
Go right up to the edge of the line.
So when you get a chance,
which is fine.
When you have the free time to do this, which is probably not going to be until like post-ACON, just take a piece of scrap fabric with some painter's tape and stipple it over the line and then paint out from there, and that should take care of your bleeding problem. Stippling makes a big difference.
Okay.
But don't do it like, don't stipple up to the line. You literally stipple on the line itself, and then you paint out.
Right. I know how the technique works. I just don't have the tools for stippling. All I have are acrylic brushes that are really not made for that.
Right.
I would have to get sponges.
Yeah, you have to get the appropriate brush.
Yes, they actually make brushes or sponges for doing that.
Yeah. But something
if I would have thought about it, you know, I could have gotten at Hobby Lobby yesterday if I was thinking about it, but I only went for gesso, ceram coat. They had my 24-karat metallic gold on sale.
Oh, okay.
And I finally got a stand for my hot glue gun.
Stand.
With as much hot glue as I've been using.
Stand yeah. for hot glue? What? No, that's just too much. Screw that. Stick it on my table.
It was $3, and it keeps the hot glue contained, you know. I don't mind making a mess, but I mind making a mess. You know what I mean?
You make, yeah, you want to have controlled mess.
I want a controlled mess. Exactly.
There you go.
That's a fantastic term for crafting, and that's what I'm calling this episode. Controlled mess.
Yes. I'm okay with this.
Yes. So that, oh yeah, my last show and tell of what I finished.
Yeah, Amber's been very productive while Val's been sick.
It's behind me. Well, I've also been working during the week.
I haven't had a chance to. It's shiny.
My pretty sword. Yep, it turned out nice, actually.
It's really shiny.
Yeah, and actually on my DeviantArt page, which I can post in the show notes. Whoops, I got a little bit of a flaky right there. On my DeviantArt, I actually did a write-up of how I made it, and I actually put in all the different paints I used mm-hmm. for the sword and all the different techniques and whatnot. Craft foam, best friend. So is hot glue, actually. All the decor was hot glue over craft foam. And fabricing! And baseball stitching while I was watching anime. In fact, I marathoned Slayer's Next yesterday. I made it all the way through Slayer's Next.
I figured
Next
you did. Good.
While I was working on armor. Armor and painting.
Nice.
Yeah. So next weekend is the sewing meet when this releases. And then when I'm not at the sewing meet, I will probably be marathoning Slayer's Try. And then it's Slayer's Revolution, and then Slayer's Evolution R. And then I'll have to find another series. By that point, I'll probably have gotten back to Fairy Tail.
Mm-hmm.
Since Fairy Tail comes back in
right.
April, supposedly, the anime is finally coming back. Finally? So
That's
I can watch that.
That's how you do it. That's how you catch up on all your shows, is you just start marathoning while you're sewing.
Pretty much.
That's how I got
very
your
much
baby
I could bad. I actually ordered an adapter for my laptop because I have a cable card that I can't use because cable cards are such ancient technology that nothing that they sell, you know, currently will actually accept them. So I had to go on eBay
nice.
To get an adapter so I can use it in my laptop, and then I can stream TV while I'm crafting and sewing, or I can stream from Funimation's channel or whatever. I can stream Cartoon
right.
Network. Yeah, it's a little difficult to watch TV without a TV.
No. Yes, yes it is.
But I can't craft in silence. I have to have something on. So
exactly. We need some sort of noise. Not like ridiculous noise, but just something to keep our brains moving.
And preferably not something so interesting it's distracting me from my cosplay.
Yeah, that too.
That happens to me a lot. I get distracted very easily. Shiny.
Shiny stuff. Shiny stuff.
Yep. Alcon is in about 6 weeks. Actually, no. It's closer to 2 months. 2 months until Alcon, when we have to have our first stuff done.
Yeah, it sounds good.
And
right.
also, I noticed there is a new con in Louisville at the end of March called Animation Celebration.
Oh, I won't have time for that. No.
I won't even have money for it because I will have just done AllCon, to be honest. And I'm also on call from work at the end of that month, so I wouldn't be able to do very much, even if I was.
Exactly.
But speaking of cosplay things, I'm going to post a link on our page. I found a massive cosplay tutorials page last night.
Oh, really?
That is very cool. In fact, I will link you in the notes in the forum here. And I also found an app in the Google Play Store called DIY Costumes, or it may be DIY Cosplay.
So do yourself cosplay. Okay.
Well, it's an app where you can choose from a list of things that you currently have on hand in terms of clothing, accessories, props, that sort of thing. And it will tell you what costume you could potentially make with those things.
That's funny.
So it's kind of a closet cosplay app.
Yeah.
And I know it's in the DIY section of the Google Play Store because I found it last night. And let me look for the tutorials. Which place? In fact, it is called cosplaytutorial.com.
Oh, well, that's simple.
It's very apt. And the page is huge. I'm not joking. It is a very, very comprehensive page as far as anything you could possibly want to do with cosplay tutorials. And I'm very happy with it because you can also use the search function on it.
Hey! Okay,
so
already
if you
approved.
Want to find out, like, soldering, or if you're looking for, you know, bleach cosplay, if you're looking for how to make wing harnesses, even if you're looking for things like mascotting, it's all on this page, and it's awesome. That's
Ooh.
cosplaytutorial.com.
They have a separate section for headgear, and it's broken down to, like, crowns, bows, glasses, goggles, berets, fleece hat. Wow.
They literally have everything from stubbing on a wig to how to draw different types of eyebrows on your face and special effects makeup. It's
that
very,
nifty.
Very cool.
We're gonna
it even shows you how to make different kind of ears.
I'm always interested in that stuff.
So,
that works for me.
Yes. So those were my findings, as well as all of the productive things that I have gotten done, or in the case of Google Play Store, maybe not so productive things.
It's
I actually I
for
did
costuming. It's fine.
I did download a pair of apps actually on electronics, basic lessons on electronic circuits and soldering.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I wanted, which was on Arduino, I can't have because it doesn't work on Android KitKat.
Oh.
So if I hadn't upgraded my tablet, I could read it. And it looks like it's a very well done guide to Arduino programming because I would love to be able to manufacture electronics, not just for myself, but to commission out and go, hey, if you want to do sound on your prop, I can help you. If you want to do, you know, a certain light up pattern with your prop, I can help you.
Sure.
So I'm waiting for the developer to make the fixes that it needs to run on KitKat. It's like, ooh, yes. Now there's helpful apps. It's not just apps where I can look at pictures of stuff or apps that try and steal my data. It's actually apps that give me data and don't steal mine in return.
Yay!
And are actually helpful, which is great. I love it.
So easily amused.
It does not take much, you know? I don't ask for much, so it takes very little.
Very little. Oh, goodness.
All right.
Okay.
That is everything I have been doing and working on in the last 2 weeks.
And
now.
I've been sick.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Woo-hoo!
I couldn't fix that.
I know. It would be awesome if you could have fixed that because I am so far behind now. So, yippee. All right. Moving on. New topic. I'm getting depressed.
Yep. I believe next up we have a newspaper mock-up tutorial.
Hey guys, Valerie here, and I am going to show you how to make a newspaper mock-up. One of the reasons that I'm doing this is because I had a lot of requests for it after I posted an image on my fan page. And I'm kind of surprised that a number of people wanted to see how I do this, because typically when I tell people, oh yeah, I make my patterns out of newspaper, they give me a really weird look and think that I'm crazy, because most people use muslin. I choose not to. And the reason that I like newspaper is that it's got a lot of great qualities to it. I think people tend to be a little harsh on it because they hear paper and they're like, oh no, that will rip, that will tear. And it does sometimes. But the reason that I like newspaper is it's cheap. In my case, it's free. When something is free and I know I can use it to make materials and patterns or whatever, I'm more likely to use it versus muslin, which costs money. And like I said, I get mine for free. So you can't get better than free. The other reason I like it is that there's no crying when you accidentally mess up. Because once you cut into your fabric or you cut into muslin and you make your pattern, That's pretty much it. It's done. Now, you can take time to, you know, pull it off your dress form and stitch it back together, which is like 30, 40 minutes of work. Or you can do what we all do with newspaper and just tear it, tape it onto your dress form, and oh, look, the hole is gone. Magic. 5 seconds of work. So, easy repairable damage, easy repair thing, no damage, no mess, no fuss. It's great. And then the other reason that I like to work on it is it's great for both structured as well as flowy patterns. The thing that I dislike about muslin is that I find it's too heavy, particularly when I want to work with softer fabrics like silks or satin, and I want to see how the fabric moves. Muslin doesn't give me an accurate representation, whereas, oddly enough, newspaper does, because it is so light. And when it's not in this flat form and you actually design it and pattern it out to look like a skirt or a shirt or whatever you're doing, it actually moves pretty well. It's not until you start layering on tape and more layers of newspaper you start to see more structure to it. And that's why it's great for tops, it's great for jackets, it's great for suits, but at the same time, it's good for the nice big flowy dresses. Now, of course, it does have its drawbacks. Because it is paper, it does tear quite easily, but you just use tape. And that solves the problem. Yay, simple, easy. And the other thing is that with any printed material, particularly with newspapers, you will start to see ink wear off. And if you're not careful and you put this on your nice, clean garment that isn't, like, black, you could see ink stains on it. And the easiest way to avoid that from happening is to, one, not shuffle your paper around on your garment, because that's more likely to get the ink residue. Just when you put it down, it's like that. It's easy. It's simple. It's kind of common sense there. But also, if you do end up getting ink on your fabric, the best thing they can do is just throw it into the wash. Cold wash with some Tide. Really, really simple. This type of ink is really easy to remove. It doesn't stain like other things. So, I actually have work to do on this thing, because this is actually supposed to be a pattern for a customer. I'm making a nice bodysuit, and this is supposed to be the top pattern for it. So, I'm going to try to pattern and talk at the same time. This could be a lot of fun. Most newspapers will come out as a 15 by 22 sheet. Now, this particular one is a 12 by 22 average, and 12, I mean 12 this way, 22 this way. This is a half sheet. The full sheet comes over this way. And it's almost 24 inches. It's like just like right there. So it's almost 24 by 22. If you're making a shirt or a jacket or a vest without any sleeves on it, like if you do a sleeve pattern separately, you really only need one sheet. So pretty simple, pretty easy, a lot easier to measure. Now, this is one of those moments where I would say if you have basic patterning skills, it makes this process a lot easier. If you don't know how to make a pattern from scratch, go to YouTube and start searching to your heart's content. There are thousands upon thousands of videos that teach you how to pattern. And that's a really good base to start with before you dive into something like this. Another thing that you can do, and this is actually how I learned how to do it, is just to take a piece of an old garment that you have, flip it inside out so that way you see the seams, lie it down on your table, on your newspaper, and then trace around it where the seams are. And then just do that over and over and over again with as many different garments as possible. It's a great way to learn how garments are made and how things are put together. And the more often you do it, the more you start to see, oh, okay, so if this seam goes here, this seam goes here. It almost becomes second nature with how you place seams on a garment. Now, this is going to be the part that takes the most amount of time. Again, I said I was going to try to pattern as I talk, but I apparently can't do that very well. I suck at that. So this is the part that's going to take the most amount of time. In my case, because this needs to be a pretty close-fitted bodysuit, I want to try to get my pattern as close to the person as possible. The material that I'm using only has a 10% stretch, so it's not a whole lot. It's a good amount, but it's not a whole lot. So I would rather make this just a smidge too big in certain areas, and I can easily pull in and cut down as necessary. But for this, what I'm going to do first is make the top separate from the bottom part of it. And then we will start draping it on our dress form. I've already went through and I made a line down the center. Basically, what I'm going to end up doing is taking this piece that I have taped together, and I'm only going to draw half the pattern on one side, and then when I cut it out, it'll be two parts of the whole. Hey. Makes my life easier, makes everybody's life easier, and we're all happy campers at the end of the day. So if you haven't figured it out by now, the obvious materials that you need are newspaper, scissors, preferably a pair of scissors, a lot better than mine. Yeah, these are my crappy scissors, they're only used for newspaper now, they're just terrible. Your measuring sticks, and of course, tape. But then I also use a Sharpie to draw out my pattern. One, it's easier to see in the newspaper. Two, when you get it on the dress form and you start actually taping everything down and putting things into place, the Sharpie is the only thing that's going to stand out. It also doesn't like to tear the newspaper like pens and pencils love to do. Okay. A lot of this is just going to be me making lines so I can see where everything goes. Ignore the squeakiness. The squeakiness is terrible. That's actually pretty close to what I want. I know this seems so abnormal right now, doesn't it? Because this is not how most people pattern. I pattern in a very unique way. And that's called eyeballing. Now, this type of pattern that I'm making, I have made these dozens of times before. So for me, like, as long as I get the front right, I can make the back happen. It doesn't bother me in the least bit. Concerned in the least bit. The other thing I want to add is there's going to be a zipper right here, so the center will be able to cut open. Alright. Fun time, part one done. So now we're going to move to the next step, which is going to be sticking these suckers on the dress form. Okay, so now that we've got our basic pattern done, it's time to try it on. If you're not doing this on a dress form, which is fine because I didn't get a dress form until this year, it's good to have a friend or a family member help you out with this so at least you can see what everybody else is seeing and they'll be more judgmental. They'll give you honest feedback on what works and what doesn't work. So, now we have to start actually sticking this thing on the dress form. As you can already see, again, I suck with sleeves. And I'm okay at admitting that. I have no problem with admitting it, because I know I suck with sleeves. I am fully aware that I suck at sleeves. But that's okay. That's the whole point of this. So I can see what I did right, what I did wrong, what I need to do to fix stuff. The whole purpose of this exercise. So, what you'll want to do is if you're using a dress form, start pinning it to your dress form. And again, you're probably going to get ink on this thing. Just take a damp paper towel to it and you'll clean it off real quickly. And as you're moving this around on your dress form, you're going to find that you're going to start shifting things around a lot. So don't be afraid to move your needles as necessary. And as you see, because of the way that I did the pattern, it's already starting to buckle in funky spots. Because I've got to take into account, okay, this is where this person's chest is sitting, where mine is sits here, so it's going to be different for every person. And in fact, this is what I am going to do. I'm going to opt to cut this out because I know what I want to do with this. And especially in the case of this demonstration, this is not going to be the final piece. It's only going to be temporary. I actually already have the pattern for this client done. This is just a secondary pattern specifically for this tutorial. So I am not at all concerned. But it should give you a better idea of how things sit, how things are moving, and whatnot. And this is the other thing that I like about it too, because with this particular pattern, what I'm going to end up doing is there's going to be piping that's also going to act as darts. And I already can tell just by the way that this is folding and crumpling, I'm going to have to put a dart right under the bust, which is exactly where I need it. But you can also see that I'm having to fold things too. Sometimes it's just what you got to do to get the pattern done. Because here's the thing. A lot of times those patterns that you get out of a book, magazine, or whatever, this is basically what people are ending up doing all day long, is they'll cut out pieces, stick it on a dress form, and start folding and bunching it up, and then finalize it and retransmit it into a format that works, and that makes sense. But this is all part of the process. And as you can see, like this section right here. So already from what I can tell, I did not make this area wide enough. I made this area too wide. So I'm going to have to get newspaper to cover up this area and then overlap down here. And again, as you see, I still get armholes. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that I have no idea. Now, all of those pieces that you were cutting out earlier, the excess newspaper, don't throw them away, because you can use them later. Why are you going to need some? Well, that's to fill up all the holes that you are currently making. And again, like I said, normally I would have a full newspaper set going on here, but because I already have this pattern done, and I am just doing this for tutorial purposes, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm getting that stuff done. Now, you can use duct tape if you want to. I personally don't like it because I want to be able to see my pattern underneath all the tape that it inevitably that happens. So, that's why I like packing tape. You can also, I'm going to be making a bunch of lines here in a moment that are going to act as my seams. And I can see my seams if I'm looking at packing tape. I can't see them if I'm looking at duct tape. And while duct tape does solve everything, it doesn't always solve everything. That made no sense. This is why Belle doesn't do tutorials through video. She likes to just write them up. Makes everybody's life easier. Okay. Now, you can kind of see here I'm having to squish and bunch this up so that it fit the back of the pattern better. And actually, this is where you can start pulling in tape. Start flattening the piece. Because I know in the back, it needs to be as flat as possible. So when I actually start cutting this up and sticking it on fabric, it will be nice and flat. So in the meantime, on my dress form, it's going to be a little creepy until I start flattening the fudge out of it. I don't know if I flatten it properly. There we go. And it's okay to pull and tug at newspaper. It is totally fine because you're going to be adding more to it. So already from my initial assessment, I can see exactly what I was talking about. This section here is going to be taped together. I'm going to move this pin out of the way. And then all of this needs to be adjusted. Okay, now sometimes. All right, I'm going to start by plastering that sucker down. Yoink. Also, pre-cut packing tape strips help speed things up. Yeah, this is the part that I like the most. Then you just start playing. And playing, and then playing some more. Hopefully my face did not just get in the way and you saw some ugliness going on. I know it looks ridiculous, but I like the cutting and shaking it down. It actually looks really, really nice. Okay, blink. One of those moments where I was like, man, I wish I had a finished piece done for this, but there's no way I would have a finished piece done, so I could be like, here's the final bit. You can see how it all came together. Oh my goodness. But yeah, we do not have one of those going on right now. This is a tutorial for the sake of being a tutorial. And as you can see, because I'm pushing it, I'm going to have to readjust the pin. Certainly we need to get a smaller piece there. And the other reason that I recommend packing tape versus like pack tape is that it's a lot sturdier. You also don't have to use as much because as you can see, I'm having to do like these big swaths of tape. If you were using that little dinky, even if you got like a 3-inch roll of scotch tape, you would be using it up on this entire piece, and that kind of defeats the purpose of having it. So, scotch tape is a no-go. Packing tape, all the way. And if you're wondering where you can get them, most stores sell them now. Don't go to like Joann's or Hobby Lobby. They sell them for ridiculously expensive prices for no reason at all. You can get them at Walmart. You can get them at Target. if you're just careful with your credit information. Oh, I made a bad Target joke. You can get them. Actually, I got a 6-pack at Walgreens for less than $4. I think this is a lot more armhole-like, right? Compared to what I was doing earlier. Again, emphasis, I suck at armholes. As you can see, because I keep working with this, to nip and pull at places that originally were a problem. But this is the process. Really hasn't changed a whole lot. This is the overlay. Let's take that down. I'm okay with it being a bit more wasty because I know whoever the client that I'm making this for has pretty close measurements to me. She's just a slightly, she's just a couple inches shorter. So I knew going into it that I was going to have to squish things, move stuff around. That's okay. Part of the process. So much tape! Okay. But you get the gist of it. I mean, and this can take some time. I mean, I've done these as quick as 20 minutes. I've done some that have taken me 2 hours. It, you know, it just depends on the garment and how much effort you're going to put into it. So my next step is to go through with a Sharpie and mark out the new cutting points. Because I still fail miserably at some of these things. I continue to fail. But now that I have an armhole that I have angled everything around, I can see my mistakes. And actually, the neckline didn't turn out too bad. That is impressive. Go me. That's very rare. Now, this is the fun part. I actually have a better pair of scissors that I would use in this situation. However, they are currently sitting out in my car. I have been beating, so I don't have access to them. So until then, we're just going to be using ghetto scissors. Yay, ghetto scissors! And you basically go around and you cut out the new holes that you were trying to cut out beforehand. Making a giant mess. Yay, messes. Like, what I would do is, after I am done cutting everything, I would put more tape over the line that I have just created, because right now, with this sitting on the tape, it's going to actually start like coming off on your fingers. Sharpies are great, but they don't hold as well as they should sometimes. So when I'm done making all my Sharpie lines, I would go through and I would tape everything down so that I know nothing's going to rub off. It's all going to stay on this. I'm going to stay on the newspaper. And even better is that you're less likely to get ink all over your fingers. And as you can kind of see, I don't know if you can see it, I'm starting to get ink on my fingers because I'm messing with this so much. Next thing to do is to mark out where all of your seams are going to be. So obviously this is the shoulder seam. And then this is going to be the side seam. Hopefully a lot nicer than the way that I'm doing it. Stop. And then in my case, the back is all going to connect and I got a zipper in the front. So those are really the only two seams that I need to mark out. And when you are done, just from here, you unpin everything, you cut out the areas where the seams are going to be, and then that's it. Your pattern is done. You are ready to go. It is just that simple, and it's exactly the same thing as making a mock-up out of muslin. It's just you're doing it out of newspaper and packing tape. So hopefully this helps. Just some general tips. Don't be afraid to mess up because you are going to mess up. And this is really, really messy. This is not as nice or as clean as I like for it to be. But again, because this is just a temporary tutorial, I'm not going to use this. But for me, I always like to put on more packing tape than necessary, mostly so I don't have to worry about the ink rubbing off from the newspaper. But it ensures that the pattern maintains its shape from the dress form to the fabric. So again, don't worry about making mistakes. Add on as much newspaper as you want. Tear things away. Cut stuff up. Because it can easily be fixed. Because it's newspaper. It's cheap. And you can throw it away when you're done. So if you guys have any questions, comments, issues, problems, feel free to talk to us.
And we're back.
I'm going to still keep waving. Okay.
At least it's not, you know,
not like prom queen, beauty queen wave.
Exactly.
There we go.
All right, so we have an interesting topic for discussion for today, and that is random things that people would not normally think to bring to a con.
That would help you out.
Yes, here is Vel to explain exactly what that means.
Okay, so I don't know why this popped into my head, but it did, but I always have... Whenever I go to a con, I make a giant list of things to bring with me. You know, okay, here's my costume, here's the accessories, blah, 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 blah. But then I have another column of just things that I bring with me that most people don't think about that could actually help my costume versus hurting it. Hopefully that kind of makes sense. And my first favorite one, and I think it's probably the most obvious thing, but no one ever really considers it, is to bring your own lanyard for your badge. Because a lot of times, mostly 9 times out of 10, the convention will give you a really butt ugly one.
Or none at all.
Or none at all, as we're very much accustomed to it. There's one, and I don't believe this was at a con. I believe I received this badge at a comic convention, but it was a bright fluorescent orange neckline, but it had like the Nas energy drink logo splattered all over it. So imagine that on, like, I don't know, a Final Fantasy VII costume or, you know, like on Pyramid Head. It could potentially be...
That's why the
be...
nice ones, like, keep them. Like, Akon's, it has Akon's name on it.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That I kept. Just so, because in the future, you know, when advertising changes at a con, the advertisers will change on the lanyard, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the design tends to change, so it's a little less subtle than
exactly.
This is. My Booko badges. See, it could be this nice fluorescent color, which you can't even tell is safety yellow from the camera.
But
your badge could be like this.
Yeah, I've had lanyards like that. And it's like, you're already having enough problems with the badge on your costume. You know it's going to be in all of your pictures. It just intensifies when you have an ugly-ass lanyard on top of it. Like, this is one, this is fairly decent, but it's got, like, the Rift game listed all over it. And if you're wearing, like, a bright color costume, this is probably not something you want to be wearing. Or if you're wearing a dark color costume, you don't want the safety yellow lanyard because it's just ugly as all hell. And it seems really silly, but bring yourself a couple of spare lanyards just to match your costumes. And you can get them really, really cheap at, like, Office Depot, Staples, Office Max. You can get a pack of 5 for less than $2. Or you can
probably
even
find them at the dollar store.
Oh, you can find them at the dollar store, too. I know they have with those, like, some of the more crazy colors for kids, so I tend to shy away from those. It's like, I'd rather get, like, black and white as just simple staples. Or you can get one of those belt loop clips that actually allows you to pull the lanyard down. Again, you get a pack of five of those for $3.99. I know because I work for office supplies. So that's one such example. Bring lanyards with you. They come in handy.
Yeah, if you get one of the belt loop kind, make sure that it's very firmly attached so that you don't lose your badge somewhere in the convention and somebody else will pick it up.
Oh, good gravy, yes. Which is why I don't like it when they don't give us lanyards and they just give us these little clippies. It's nice in theory, but it's still going to fall off eventually. I don't know how many times I've had those replaced.
And sometimes they will... I'll use Anime North Texas as an example. They actually didn't give us lanyards. They just gave
us
a
badge. Oh, no, they didn't. I'm glad I had
one. Yes, and I didn't. So I ended up having to clip this to my costume, which was fine. But the problem ends up happening is when they give you a clip, and then you have a clip on the end of this, too, and so it looks really dorky to do this.
It works.
So you can either take out the clip and flip it around, you know, and try and clip it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just bring yourself a jump ring.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to bring a lanyard anyway, just clip a jump ring onto the end of it like that.
It's
so that
the
whichever
time.
Side they give you, it will just clip right on there on the edge of the jump ring and, you know, that's it. You're done.
I don't care how dorky it looks. It's practical. It's convenient. You're not going to lose your badge. So.
Right.
Fudge everybody
Plus,
else.
Split rings are real easy to come by. You can get them in craft stores and regular hobby stores.
Exactly.
You can get them in office supply stores. Same place you find the badges, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
The badge materials. Plus, it hangs a lot better that way for movement. And I will put this back on my wall. Oh, badges. There we go. Something else you might not think to bring to a con, oddly enough, fan.
Yes.
These are... They're El Cheapo fans. These are the kind where you flip them open, you know, and you fan yourself. I know a lot of anime cons sell these in their dealer room, but especially if you go to a con during the summer months, like the year we went to AACon and the Sheridan had the AC breakdown, having one of these, especially if you're waiting in line, can be a godsend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always carry one or two of these with me to a con. And then I just stick it in one of my bags, or I just hang it from my belt as a cosplay accessory to make sure that I can stay cool. A lot of my cosplays have a lot of layers and armor, so it's difficult to stay cool.
Exactly.
So fan can be a very good thing to have.
Definitely comes in handy. My next favorite one is if you're going to a convention like San Diego Comic-Con, one of the larger ones, bring a swag bag with you. Basically, a swag bag is... A lot of these cons are now getting to the point of where movie studios want you to go out to see their movies. You know, they're promoting more products. They give away a lot of free stuff. When I went to PAX East last year, I was kind of mad at myself because I only gave myself a very small section of my suitcase just for swag, and it was way too tiny because I had so much free stuff to bring back with me. I had to completely reconfigure and squish a lot of my costumes just to bring things home. So if you're going to a larger convention where you know that there's going to be the entertainment industry is going to be hanging around, or you're going to a gaming convention, consider just bringing a bag specifically just to hold all of your free stuff. And it'll make your life way easier, trust me. Not just in terms of packing, but just in terms of carrying stuff around, too. People are not going to fault you for having an extra bag. It's like, this is where all my free shirts are going. What about you? They're stuck in your hand. Sucks.
Also, incidentally, Sigma Chicken actually just messaged us through the app and said, Classic Mountain Dew is awesome. And yes, Classic Mountain Dew is in fact awesome. It is both full of caffeine and has actual sugar in it. Which,
funny.
You know, there are arguments for and against natural versus artificial sugars. I really don't care because it tastes good. And actually, talk for just a second, because I'm going to go get the next thing on my list.
Oh, okay, you're going to go.
I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to go get it.
Oh, okay,
it's right there.
Have fun. I'll be sitting here talking. The other thing I wanted to add to this list is that it's not necessarily a costume accessory, but just a general health accessory. Remember to bring a small bottle of hand sanitizer. You can get them. You can even get these at the dollar store. They're maybe like about that big. They're perfect enough to fit inside your purse or in your back pocket, because most of us now make costumes with pockets in them for easier storage and carrying. It's just a general health thing, a general sanitation thing. Use it anytime you leave the bathroom. Use it anytime before you go to eat, before you go to drink, and pass it around to your friends. It's just common courtesy at this point to always have some type of sanitation or any type of health-related item. The same also applies with vitamin C. I've actually gotten to the point where I take vitamin C with me at every single convention that I go to, and it could be anything as simple as like vitamin C drops to these suckers. I've become addicted to these because they save me every single con so I don't get sick. So, there you go.
Oh, yes, medication. Yes, medication is a very good idea to bring with.
Medication and hand sanitizer. No, this, I was just recommending my vitamin C. Just always have it on hand or something on hand so in case there's an emergency. Because I know people who forget their inhalers in their hotel rooms, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. No, don't do that. You have a pocket. Put it in your pocket. Please.
Although, actually, speaking of pills, I grabbed this while I was over there. Photo jars.
Photo jars.
Or just small jewelry jars.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you end up having to bring a small quantity of a pill with you, if you don't want to carry a whole, if you get a large jar, like fish oil pills, then you can carry them in a small jar. Just make sure you label them with what's in the jar, in case you need to know for later. You can also use these to carry things like jewelry or other, you know, small sundry items. If you need to carry around change for a laundromat, for example, you can put it in here. All sorts of things fit in small photo jars so that they don't get lost or crushed, right, for that matter. In fact, I use these to store small replacement gems if any fall off my costume for kabachins and such. I store them in here. That way I have spares in case any of my gems fall off. And then they don't get damaged or lost in my luggage. But the whole reason I went over is because one of the things people never bring is monofilament.
Yeah, no one really does.
Which, the reason you would carry monofilament is so that you don't have to carry 10,000 other spools of different colored threads. Monofilament is literally clear thread. It's kind of like fishing wire. It's just not quite as strong as fishing wire, actually. Monofilament does have a downside in that it's not quite as strong as regular cotton thread because it's basically made of synthetic plastics. Mm-hmm. It's made of fiber. So if you pull hard enough on it, it will break. But if you're using it for a minor repair job for basting, more or less, then having one spool of this is probably better than having to carry around three or four other colors worth of thread. Unless you get the miniature repair kit size, and then those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yay, monofilament. I gotta wrap it back up. It's hard to see, so I can't put it back.
It's like, wait, how does this go again? Yeah, that's the funness with it.
There we go. Okay, I got it back.
All right.
Of course, I carry my thread in a box, so.
Exactly. You're more organized than I am. I've got mine in a giant gallon size Ziploc bag. I'm
nice.
Efficient. It fits in my box. I don't care. It's good. All right, so for those of us who are glasses wearers, like Amber and I, the glasses wearing public, does that work? Sure, why not?
That works.
I always bring with me a microfiber cloth to clean off my glasses, because it seems like every single time I take my glasses off when I'm in a costume, and it only happens when I'm in a costume, I get fingerprints all over my lenses. And I don't want to wipe it off on my costume, because 9 times out of 10, the bottom of my costume or the closest sleeve is going to be like the prettiest part with the most detailing. Plus, you get the blotches all over your costume. You don't want that. Bring a microfiber cloth. Most glass cases actually come with these standard now, but you can pick these up at a dollar store. They're really simple, easy, and they're convenient.
They're also good for keeping your camera lenses and
that
camera
too.
Screens cleaned off as you are doing photography at your favorite convention, because those screens will be dirty too.
We definitely know that from experience.
They're good for cleaning any kind of screen, including if you have a laptop, you know, with you or a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I actually literally keep a cloth with every one of my devices. I keep it in the case.
You just get used to it and you get accustomed to it.
Just in case.
Ah!
I really don't care if you give me a thumbs up.
I know you don't. Oh, goodness. All right, if you don't have another one, I have my next one ready, too. Oil blotters. If you have really oily skin like I do in certain areas, these things are a lifesaver. I got these at Tom Thumb for, I think, 99 cents, and it's a pack of 80. You can get them at any convenience store, any grocery store. It's just a nice thing to put in your makeup kit when you're on the go and you realize that you're getting a little oily, or if you run out of powder to get rid of that oil, just blot this on your face really quick and you're done. They're really simple. They're just little cotton pads. Easy.
It's good to carry a set anyway if you're going on a photo shoot, especially outdoors.
Mm-hmm. I had a ton of these yesterday for our photo session, just as an emergency backup for whoever may needed it. And then my other favorite one that nobody seems to remember but me, and they always come to me with this, Band-Aids and cortisone. Because cuts do happen. And it's almost impossible to get any of that type of stuff into your hotel room without paying an arm and a leg. So just bring a little box of Band-Aids with you. You can get the one with the Hello Kitty on it. That's fine. I mean, because, you know, it's funny to watch Vegeta walking around with a Hello Kitty Band-Aid. But seriously, though, I mean, that's just something that seems so common sense to me. But every single time I room with somebody and they get a cut, it's like they have nothing for it. So I become the medical person. So it, and they're so cheap. Band-Aids, little thing of, new, of like cortisone or whatever, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
She's nodding her head because she knows I'm right.
I pack them myself.
Ah, see? We think it's common sense.
Looks like you got a statement in your in the Q&A.
Oh, I do? I don't even know what it is, if it'll let me load.
Oh, you can't see it?
Hey! Okay. Yes, thank you for giving these back to me, Danny. They didn't really get used a whole lot yesterday, which is fine. It's just good to have them around. Now, let's see if we can actually get the question answered. Maybe not. I think it'll just pop up as questions only.
Well, if you hit select, you can answer it, or there's a little arrow in the upper corner if you want to just delete it, since we have answered it on air.
I think you're the only one that can do that, because it does not give me those options.
Okay.
There you go.
Took care of it.
Yay! But in terms of just random things to bring to a con, those are the only ones I could really think of that stand out in my mind. Again, because they seem so obvious to the two of us because we're always, like, ridiculously overprepared. But just talking to people and rooming with others, so many people don't have these items, and it's like, huh, why not?
Something you might consider bringing if you end up having a wig as part of your costume is a pair of nylons. And that may seem kind of odd, but if you only have one wig cap and your wig cap breaks, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do with it?
Well, if
you can't
you
really
can't
repair,
repair
it.
Yeah, if it's one of the mesh kind, you can.
Mm-hmm.
By weaving over the hole. But if you have the standard El Cheapo, you know, purchased from your average wig store kind, you really can't repair those. And so if you have one of the cheap pairs of nylons, you can get them for as cheap as 40 cents.
Yeah.
And you can literally make yourself a one-use wig cap. And you just tie off the end of the one of the legs of the nylons and fit it over your head, and you're off. You're going.
Yeah, it's so much cheaper than efficient than trying to fix the one that you just broke. I mean,
yeah, unless you're really good at darning very quickly and have a set of darning needles with you.
Yeah, have fun with that.
It's probably not as feasible to fix it as it is to simply just get a new one.
Yeah, just invest in a new one at that point.
Yeah. And actually, I can think of one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you can either squeeze in a space saver bag or a trash bag, oddly enough, to use as a garment bag. And that's to get your cosplay there and back without it getting damaged. Because the hotel doesn't always have enough garment bags. And if you want to protect your costume, trash bags generally do really well. All you have to do is cut a slit in the top. Well, it would be the bottom of the bag, but you turn it upside down so you're holding the bottom of the trash bag.
Mm-hmm.
Cut a little slit, stick the hanger through it, and you have a garment bag. And then when you're done, you can just reuse it as a trash bag. Just put a little bit of tape over the hole, and you can literally use it as a trash bag as needed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy.
Plus, you know, they're portable.
Yeah, it keeps random drinks or food spillage or whatever off of it. So.
Mm-hmm. It also helps protect it from sun.
Yeah.
If it sits in your car for a long time. And it's something that most people generally have in their household to begin with, so you don't have to go out and purchase anything separate.
Exactly.
I do that for a lot of my costumes, actually, is I just put a trash bag over the hanger mm-hmm. just to protect it from the elements. I mean, yeah, it's not going to protect it against getting crushed,
but
it's better than nothing.
If it's like a nice shirt or a dress or something and you just need to get it from point A to point B, it's a good fix.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay.
All right, and just a note to anyone who is watching, if you want to submit questions to us, please submit them in English, because otherwise we can't read them.
There's no Google Translate in our Q&A.
Yeah, we can't run it through a translator while we're in recording. So if you would like to ask us questions, you know, with all due respect, please submit them to where we can read them.
On that level,
all right.
Note.
And last but not least, I'm doing a product review on this guy. This is so awesome. I love it. This is like my new favorite toy.
The way you're hugging it? Yeah, it kind of looks like it.
This is the Black & Decker RTX. This is Black & Decker's attempt to unseat Dremel as the king of rotary tools. It is fairly new in that it hasn't been around long enough to have all the fancy attachments and presses and other sorts of handy accessories that Dremel has, but it is getting there. And this is one of those tools that has a chuck, which means you have to have a handy little wrench normally to change the accessories, but I usually just unscrew it with my hands. I bought this at Walmart. You can only get it online, to the best of my knowledge. I believe Home Depot sells it in their stores, but it's a little bit more expensive. This was $29.97, so this was half the price of a comparable Dremel, which I think the comparable Dremel to this is the 3000 version, which a lot of cosplayers have. And it is 3-speed, so it has low, medium, and high, and it actually has a little dial on it right here that lets me change how fast it's going. So it doesn't have 3 separate, you know, very concrete settings. I can vary it. So I have a range of settings. It's between 12,000 and 30,000 RPMs at a time. And supposedly it has twice the torque of Dremel, too, which is nice when you're sanding a whole bunch. But it only comes with one little collet, and the collet is the little piece that will hold all the different bits that you stick into it like that. And collets come in different sizes, so since this only comes with one, you're probably going to want to purchase more collets. Otherwise, you won't be able to use very many bits. And my beef with this, my only beef, is that the only attachment it comes with is a sanding drum, which is this guy. And it comes with 5 little sanding drums, which are very nice of them. But I want to do more than sand with my tool. It's capable of so much more than just sanding. The good news is this is compatible with all Dremel accessories. In fact, I actually bought a Dremel cutting bit, and I used it in here this morning. It did not cut foam very well, incidentally, so no, you cannot use a generic cutting bit on Ava foam. It does not work. my experience shall be your guide. It does not work. In fact, it kind of cuts weird, swirly lines instead of cutting straight, and it leaves little jagged marks in the edge of the foam where you can tell it was turning, when the blade was turning. In fact, the blades I've been using with it, the bits I've been using, are from my faux Dremel that I reviewed way back in the day, my little $13 Walmart cheapy Dremel knockoff. These work really well in the nicer Dremel body. So even though this says you can only use it at certain speeds, I limit the Dremel to that speed, but I can still use all these other bits. So I saved myself a bunch of money. I have a feeling that's why this is so cheap. Is not only is it because it's Black & Decker, but because it doesn't come with any sort of accessories. But you can get, I think it's 120 pieces. They sell the Dremel accessory kits, which are about $20. And you get 120 different pieces in it. And that's generally enough to get you by. So right now I have a whole variety of polishing bits, cutting bits. You will probably want a bunch of sanding drums because you will go through them very quickly. Incidentally, don't use them near hot glue because you get a hot glue barrel, which is, it's really cool to watch, and it also destroys your sanding drum. And then you have to trade out and get a new one. So it's all kind of wasteful too. In the name of science, I have wasted sanding drums in the name of science. But this also has a nice handy little switch right here, and this is what makes it so you can't mistakenly turn it on when you're changing bits. And I made sure, because I actually made sure that you can't. I tried to turn it on while I was changing bits, and you literally can't do it. So it is amber safe. I cannot do weird things with it. It is purposely, you know, stopping you from doing dangerous things, so I could not, in fact, experiment on that in the name of science. You can literally change out bits with one hand if you want to, just by flipping that one switch. It has a nice, obvious power switch, which is on and off. This is corded. For anyone who's used a Dremel and knows about the difference between corded and cordless Dremels, usually you will get more consistent power with the plug because you don't have to worry about draining a battery or having a battery just simply die on you. The cord will keep your power level consistent and your speed consistent, which is very important when you're in the middle of a project. Will it cut styrofoam without destroying it? Yes. In fact, is my piece over there? No, it's not. But this is what I used to cut through my foam. It didn't work terribly well. Whoops. Does not want to stay in my hand. Don't you hate it when you're reaching for something and it's about an inch too far and I can't reach it?
I was going to say, you're going on a hunting trip now.
There we go. Let's see if you can see that on the camera. This is a multi-purpose Dremel cutting bit. This thing. You can see the number. I think it's 561-01. This is what I used to try and cut through my foam this morning. While it is a fantastic cutting bit, and it does cut through it, and it does not destroy it, I had a lot of trouble controlling it in the middle of the foam. It kept wanting to, you know, swerve left and right instead of just going straight down like I wanted it to. I would imagine that if you had it in a vise or a clamp and you somehow had, you know, a vise or a clamp with this, maybe a drill press, and you used that to cut it, you'd probably have a lot better results. But it still leaves the edge of the foam. I wish I could find it. It's probably in my trash bag. But it leaves very jagged edges on the edge of the foam to where you can tell you used a drilling bit. In fact, I'm going to go see if I can't find that one.
All right. This is where Val would take the footage here, and she'll cut it in the final version, so that way you don't have this random space. Amber's going to magically reappear within like a second with the foam. There she is.
It does that.
They rotate it up a little bit more so you can see it flat. It's kind of awkward.
Well, I'm trying to get the light to change a little so my camera will focus better, but you can see that it's not
Yeah, you can see
there.
It better that way. There we go.
That's how it looks when you cut it, with the spiral cutting bit, as opposed to the nicer edges, which you can see there, as compared to the slice and dice. So the short answer is, yeah, you can cut it. Is it going to look good? No. You're going to have to sand it. If I had to make a suggestion about cutting foam, it would probably be a hot knife. And that's simply because it seals the foam as you cut it. Or a scroll saw. But you really can't use a rotary tool, even when you have, you know, scroll saw style bits. It just leaves too many jagged edges. So it was a nice experiment on my part. That's purposely why I bought the cutting bit, is so I could experiment to see if it would cut foam for me. I am sad. It did not work. But I'm sure I can use it to cut other things. Just not foam. I'm going to put my bit back in the box. There we go. It's a bit in a box.
You're still full of it today.
But I know. For $30... totally worth it. If you want this instead of a Dremel, I would say this is as good as or better than, you know, Dremel 3000, comparably. And it also has a nifty little hanger, so you can hang it up on the wall, or you can hang it from a drill press, and then you can use it as a drill if you have drill bits. I love it. This is my new toy. It's worth every penny of the $30 I paid for it. So much better than the faux Dremel I had before. And works very well. I actually haven't used it at high speed yet. I'm afraid I'm going to burn something or set something on fire. So I've only used it at medium, which is 24,000, and low, which is 12,000. I haven't tried to turn it all the way up yet. I have not gone over 9,000 or set it to 11, as it were.
Couldn't hurt to try just to see what happens. Build the backbone. Use it on one of your scraps.
After session. It would have to be the after session. I turned it up to medium to see if that would help the spiral cutting bit, but it didn't.
It probably didn't, did it?
No. I was hoping if it went faster, it would eliminate the cross-hatching on the edge, but no.
No.
I'm sad.
It's okay.
Science! Yes, again, that is the... Black & Decker RTX. This is the B model. I think they have different models of it now, but mine is RTX-B. And Walmart sells it, Home Depot sells it, I'm sure Lowe's sells it. It is my happy, happy alternative to Dremel that I could not afford at the moment. Mostly because I paid for it using Christmas gift cards, and I had a limited amount of Christmas gift cards. That's because these things were not cheap.
No, that I love that.
So
paint,
I spent my money on
cheap.
Paint.
Yeah.
I bought paint instead of a Dremel, which the paint was far more useful to me, I think, than a real Dremel would have been, especially since the RTX is just as good.
Right.
I think I came out on the top end of that bargain.
See, there you go. Not so bad.
Yep, now I'm just waiting. I need to, I'm going to have to reorganize my apartment if I end up still living here when my lease comes up. Mm-hmm. So I can have my workshop in here. Can have my little section for my scroll saw. I can have a little station for when I use my rotary tool. I can have it hooked up to a little drill press.
Mm-hmm.
So I can use it for cutting or drilling. And I can have my little, my station where I have my anvil set up and my rivet gun. My little armory section, as
right.
it were. And then I can have a little table with my sewing equipment and little drawers to hold all my different sewing accessories and 10,000 spools of thread. I have pegboard, too. My little brother sold me pegboard for Christmas.
Oh.
And now I want to stick a whole bunch of nails in it so I can hang all my spools of thread on it.
It's an art project.
It could be. I think I can literally fill up nearly every square inch of space with crafting stuff of some sort.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Oh, also, random thing to bring to a con that just reminded me.
Mm.
Paper towel roll or cardboard tube. For those who want to buy posters or prints of art, and you don't want them mistakenly damaged by something getting spilt on them or them getting bent, crinkled, whatever, just roll them up and stick them in a tube.
Yeah.
It works very well. In fact, some places literally sell cardboard tubes that are meant for posters, and they have the little plugs on the end of it so that they don't fall out.
Although they generally don't
fall out anyway.
Yeah, they also have straps on them, so you can almost wear them like, what is it called, satchels? So you can have them on your back.
You can holster your poster on your back.
I see guys do this at gaming conventions all the time.
It works.
It does.
If you want to attach your own cord to it, you can. You know, you can always drill a hole in the tube if you want to and just, you know, stick shoelaces in it if you want to.
Heck, it works.
But the reason I thought of that is because there's all the different things you can hang on a pegboard to store rolls of stuff. Like if you have empty sewing spools, empty thread spools that you don't use anymore, you can use them to store bias tape without it getting folded or wrinkled. You just wrap the bias tape around the spool and you just pull it off the spool as you need to use it. And that way, if you want to make 10,000 yards of white bias tape because you know you're going to need it at some point, you've got all this scrap left over, that's how you store spare bias tape, is on a spool of empty spool of thread.
Exactly.
Or on a toilet paper roll, because those work too. You can also store ribbon on those, incidentally. If you have a bunch of extra ribbon, then you can store it on rolls like that too. Makes it much easier to use up that way too, if you can just pull it off of a rolling spool instead of having to try and unwrap it from the cardboard disc it comes on.
Right.
Much easier. I need to build a dispenser of some sort so it can dispense my thread and ribbon to me. That's what I could use my Arduino for. I can have mechanized spools for actually, you know, giving me my thread. Push button, receive thread.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, I know, but if you're going to practice programming Arduino, you may as well have it do something useful, like give you thread and ribbon.
Uh-huh.
I know, nobody ever believes me when I think of these wacky things.
That is so...
It's okay.
It's a little over the top. I just roll over and, oh, look, there's my thread. I mean, I don't need anything crazy like that. Come on.
Yes, but sometimes you periodically have to refill your bobbin. I would as soon not have to do that. It's a pain in the butt. Although they actually make machines that do that now.
I know.
There are separate machines that wind bobbins for you. Also, there are also machines that make bias tape for you. And they're fairly expensive. They're about $80. Simplicity makes them. Joanne sells them.
Why? That seems like such a waste of money.
For those who either do not have irons at home or don't have the, I don't want to say the technique. Because
if you don't have an iron, you should not be sewing. That's sewing 101. Have an iron. That's
well,
just being lazy.
Okay, how about,
I could understand it if you were maybe a professional seamstress. And you're doing this 24/7, or like, you know, this was your normal work job, 40 hours a week. I could see how that those could actually be beneficial to you. However, as the normal hobbyist, that's just being lazy. I make all my own
bias
tapes.
Well, it certainly,
you know, it just seems lazy.
It certainly helps if you have the little, I don't want to call them horns, but they do kind of look like shoehorns that you use to make it.
I hate those things too.
Those are helpful. Whether or not you like them,
I hate them.
They are helpful. But if you don't want to use those and you don't want to literally fold it by hand, then the machine does speed things up because it can make large amounts of bias tape very quickly.
Again, if you're a seamstress and this is your day J job, I get it. That would make sense. The rest of us, not so much. Unless you just happen to magically take up, like, a clamp costume, and it's like, I need 500 yards of this bias tape.
We are getting some very random questions
Yeah, I'm thinking some of them are spam now.
If somebody's asking, would you marry me, my prompt answer to that is no.
Yep.
But then again, you know, when you open up your podcast to audience questions, sometimes you will get some very interesting questions.
We got some spammers. It's fine.
I see there's a question in there that says, why are you so cool?
I was testing it to make sure it was working.
Yeah, but the funny thing is it got a plus two.
I saw that too. I was like, somebody else babed it. All right.
I don't know that I would consider myself cool. I think I am more wacky than cool, but I am wacky in a cool way. So it kind of works itself out. I am a very random person, and people seem to appreciate that in some odd way. And I'll go with it. You know, I'm cool with it.
There you are.
Being normal is boring.
Being normal is boring.
I firmly stick to that. But with that, I believe we will call an end to this episode 54 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. It's been a wacky episode.
Oh, goodness.
We will see you guys next time. As always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions for topics we should cover or people we should interview. In fact, we ended up getting a fan mail from somebody who has a suggestion on someone we can interview. If you know anybody like that, you can actually message us on Facebook, on DeviantArt. You can tweet us. You can leave us a message here on our YouTube channel under this video. And you can also email us at podcast@cospod.org and let us know if you have somebody that you would like us to interview or specific topics you'd like us to cover, or even if there are specific tools you want us to have a look at or techniques you want us to demonstrate. And with that, we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.